So we are in the hump week of our five-session series on the Lord's Prayer. We have our shortest plea out of the five. Give us this day our daily bread. The first week we talked about the nature of God when we referred to God as a father, a statement not of God's gender, but of a relationship, a deeper meaning that we have a relationship with God. But at the same time that we have a close relationship to God, God is other, God is holy, God is in heaven, unlike us here on earth. Dovetailing into heaven and earth, the kingdom of heaven, we ask God, dared God, to have his will done on earth. It's a daring prayer. Do we really want God's will on this earth as opposed to our own or as opposed to the powers we have created? But that's part of our model of prayer. And today we have Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread. Let us begin with just a moment for God, to God. Holy One, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and minds be pleasing to you, our rock, our redeemer. Amen. Do we know what we ask God when we say, give us this day our daily bread? Do we realize what we ask God? Are we prepared for that? For God to give us what we need, not necessarily what we think we want. More on that later. But first of all, let's look at the words. The words say so much. Give us this day. Once again, this is a communal thing. This is a communal prayer. This is meant for us to say together, give us this day, not give me this day. Just give me what I need. Give us this day our daily bread. Do we have a sense, a perspective of this? Do we go to God as a representative of a community of people, of a church, of a group in a Bible study? Or do we come to God with a list of concerns like God was Santa? Give us this and this. Pray for my Aunt Sally. No, it's a little bit more deeper than that. Give us this day is the model for us. Because what might be good for you in particular might not be what's best for everyone considered together. It's one reason why it's a daring prayer. Do we truly want this? We pray too often, in my opinion, without considering what would be good for everybody, for the common good, for the community at large. It has to do with how we see ourselves in relation to God. Yes, God is a personal God. We can refer to God like Jesus did as a papa in familiar terms. But balance that out with give us this day communal prayer. It invites us to consider ourselves as part of something bigger than ourselves. Consider coming to God as a member of a family, as a member of the body of Christ, as a member of this particular church, or whoever you happen to be sitting in the room with. Give us this day our daily bread. Daily. Another word to dissect and to look at more carefully. We're to come to God each and every day, one day at a time, with only focusing on the day ahead of us. What did Jesus say in this very same Sermon on the Mount from Matthew that the Lord's Prayer comes out of? Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself, Jesus says. one day at a time. Give us this day our daily bread. We live in a culture that's full of anxieties. We even teach each other that we should be worried about tomorrow. Plan ahead. All these investment commercials that happen, especially on the weekends. If you're an NFL fan, there's always some sort of mutual fund commercial. Plan ahead, plan for the future. Life insurance commercials. Retirement funds. Yes, it's good to plan ahead. Yes, it's good to be wise. Yes, it's prudent. Yes, that can be parsed out of the Bible as well. But balance that once again with coming to God daily. How many have made plans in life? All of us should raise our hands. We've made plans. How many of our plans have come to fruition? 100%. 100% your plans have worked out in life. None of us, correct? God has got plans too. And as someone close to me says, we make plans, but God laughs. I don't think that God's actively working against our plans, but yes, God's got a will too. We talked about that last week. God has a will for this world. God has plans for this world. And they're not exactly what our plans might be. They're probably better, probably a lot better, probably better in the long run for us, probably more nutritious, probably more blessed than we can imagine. Don't be so concerned about the future that you're not living in the moment, that you're not living each and every day to its fullness, that you're not smelling the roses. The truth is that circumstance, call it fate, call it God's will, a combination of all those things, and yes, the power of evil in the world, because that's very real as well, things change. It's incumbent upon us to depend on God each and every day and say, God, I'm laying myself into your hands today, because God knows our needs for today, not what our desires might be, a difference, desires versus needs. We hoard not only because we are anxious, but because we always want more than we need. Isn't that true? We want the good things in life. We want the fancy things in life. We want to enjoy ourselves. We want to be able to sit back and have things taken care of for us. But when we want more than we need, someone usually, very oftentimes, goes without. It's true. In this country, we consume more than we need, much more than we need. Per capita, we consume much more than so much of the world, one nation. This story, probably more than any other story, demonstrates this plea of give us this day our daily bread, because literally the Israelites had to gather each and every day the bread that they would need for that day, and they had to go out again the next day and gather what they needed every day. They had to work a little bit for it. They couldn't store it up, and if they did try to store it up, what happened? It went bad. If we take more than our share, then a lot of that might go bad. It does go bad. We consume a lot of rotten stuff because we try to take in so much. That's part of it. It corrupts us, corrupts our hearts. It corrupts the soul of our culture. It's always trying to accumulate. There's a musical that came out recently called The Greatest Showman. Has anyone seen The Greatest Showman? One of our favorite, you have? Good music, good story. Tells the story of Barnum, who established something that no one had ever seen before. A show of people who were very different, and it came to be called a circus. Well, he always seems to want more and more. And once he gets this show going and it's a success, it's not enough for him. And so he begins to promote this famous singer from Europe, and he goes on tour with her. And that's not enough. And there's a song that she sings with these words called All, and it goes like this: all the shine of a thousand spotlights, all the stars we steal from the night sky will never be enough, never be enough. Towers of gold are still too little. These hands could hold the world, but it will never be enough, never be enough. How many times have we heard that things, money, success, power will not satisfy our souls, and yet how many times do we go after it anyways? Notoriety, recognition, whatever it may be. This plea is an invitation to return to a more simplistic lifestyle. And it's liberating. It's liberating. As the story of those who had been released from captivity in Egypt, who had everything handed to them when they needed, in comparison to the wilderness, because they came to Aaron and to Moses bellyaching about, well, wouldn't it be nice if we had meat pots like we did in Egypt instead of out here in the wilderness starving to death, having very little? Well, you could have that, but you'd also wouldn't have your freedom. We have freedom. It's liberating to shed some of the things in our life. God won't let us starve. We learned this week in VBS, God is there for us no matter what. If we're in jail, God is there for us. Hungry lions surrounding us. If we are in a fiery furnace, God is there for us. The house is not going to come crashing down. The floor will not drop out beneath us. God can be our safety net. We talked about needs. We need more than bread. Man cannot live on just bread alone, Jesus said in the wilderness, when he was in the wilderness himself, being tempted by the devil. Of course, we all studied those four food groups, and we had the triangle chart. Remember that? And how many fruits and vegetables did you need per day? Was it four or five? Anyone remember? Help me out. You needed a lot of vegetables. That was the most important thing, was fruits and vegetables. A little bit down the list was grain. It's a good question. Don't we need more than bread? Don't we need more than manna, as sweet as it might have been, and it sounds, 40 years of that each and every day? 3 meals a day of that? Could you imagine what the kids would have said? What are we having to eat tonight? Mom? Manna again? Bread? Seriously? But imagine this. After 40 years of consuming heaven-born food, what your faith would have been like. Of course, there is the spiritual meaning of, as well, of eating manna from heaven. I was thinking this week about cultures that have, that consume a lot of a certain kind of food, like rice or fish, how they take on certain differences that they pass on, biological differences. Imagine if we subsisted on a little bit more manna in our lives. How would that change us? Well, the good side is that you would never have to plan what you would make for dinner. Never have to stress over what am I going to buy this week at the store. How are we going to make it different? How are we going to change it up this week? A little bit more than just chicken nuggets at dinner. When I was on my sabbatical in February, I traveled a little bit sparse. So I said to myself, well, for breakfast and lunch, I'm going to eat simply. I'm just going to have granola bars and an apple most of the time for breakfast. And most of the time for lunch, I'm just going to stop and make myself a peanut butter sandwich. And that was fine for a while. But after a few days of that, it was nice to stop at a Greasy Spoon and get, you know, one of those places that serve breakfast all 24 hours and get like an omelet and hash browns, and you really sort of fill up. It really makes you appreciate the good things, doesn't it? Of course, there is a motto that says less is more, this minimalistic view that having less actually increases who you are. It increases your lot in life. How much do we really need anyway? Do we need more of a house? Do we need to own more land? Do we need a bigger bank account? Do we need more things in our life? Do we need more things to do in our life? Probably not. And of all the things that Facebook is and isn't, one of the good things I think that Facebook has done is to start this little campaign where you could, with just a few clicks, for your birthday, you can have people who are your friends and family that know you on Facebook donate money for a certain cause. It was so easy. $290 for the Juvenile Diabetes Society. I didn't really even try. I didn't even share it a second time. Do we need more stuff? Do we need another present? Do we need something wrapped up? What about something that thinks of the community in terms of us? More and better is not always the case. A bigger job will mean more responsibility, will probably mean less time for family, less time for Sabbath, something that's in our scripture today. Of course, the larger point for today is that we should live out of the abundance of God. Here are people that are living in a wilderness, and you look at the wilderness and there's not much water to be found, there's not much food to be found, there's not a lot of hunting going on. But even in the wilderness, we can rely on God, and if we do that, it becomes an abundant place. Imagine how wonderful it must have felt to come to a land of milk and honey after they learned of what abundant things that God has for them in the wilderness. Catherine of Siena in the Middle Ages wrote about living out of a place of abundance, and she, in her life, she threw everything, all she was, into the love of God. And she said this. She said that she can't lose anything in this place that she existed, because if she misses something, God replaces it 100-fold over. She abandoned herself to the love of God. She abandoned herself into the arms of God, into the love of God. And it's out of this place that she operated out of, and how she saw the world. Every material thing to her was of equal value, she said. A stone was of the same worth that a diamond was. In a place where nothing is valued more than love, what a wonderful thing that is. Think of it. Even in the wilderness, that became a place of abundance for the people of God. Life can be like that for us. It will cost us. It will cost us, though, as T.S. Eliot said, no less than everything. Everything that we hold dear that is not from God. Abandon the world of Egypt. The world of Egypt that operates out of this consumeristic lifestyle. A lifestyle of excess. A lifestyle that hoarded things away. That rotted. It will do the same to your soul. It will keep you captive. Break free of that. We can be completed through the love of God, who loves us, who cares for us, who never abandons us, who watches over us, as our song said this week, who provides what we truly need in life each and every day. Let us pray.